Lesson 2. The Plan of Salvation. Your purpose. As you teach, help people prepare for baptism and confirmation. Consider the qualifications for baptism taught in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 20, Verse 37, and in the related baptismal interview questions. Prayerfully decide what to teach and which invitations to extend based on the person's needs, interests, and situation. Be mindful of the questions and level of understanding of those you teach. Baptismal interview questions. Do you believe that God is our eternal Father? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior and Redeemer of the world? Are you willing to keep the Sabbath day holy, including partaking of the sacrament weekly and rendering service to others? Invitations. Will you ask God in prayer to know that what we have taught is true? Will you repent of your sins? Will you attend church with us this Sunday? Will you read the Book of Mormon and ask God in prayer to know that it is the Word of God? Will you follow the example of the Savior and be baptized on select a date? May we set a time for our next visit? Commandments from Lesson 4 that you choose to include. Helping others learn about Jesus Christ. Missionaries are to testify of Jesus Christ and invite all to come unto Him that they might be saved and receive increased happiness, comfort, joy, and peace in this life. Providing specific instruction about the Savior is important for those who know little or nothing about Him. The Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, is designed to help all people know that Jesus is the Christ, manifesting Himself unto all nations. From title page of the Book of Mormon. One of the most effective ways to teach and testify of the Savior is to read together from the Book of Mormon. Passages from other standard works can also be helpful. Consider the suggestions listed below. This activity may also be done as part of this or other lessons, or as a lesson of its own. When helpful, repeat this activity several times before and after baptism and confirmation. Title page and introduction. Make clear the purpose of the book. 1 Nephi, chapters 10 and 11. Lehi and Nephi testify of the Savior. 1 Nephi, chapter 19. Nephi recounts prophecies of the Savior's ministry and atonement. 2 Nephi chapter 2. Lehi testifies of the Savior as Redeemer. 2 Nephi chapter 9. Jacob testifies of the atonement of Jesus Christ. 2 Nephi chapters 31 through 33. Nephi teaches the doctrine of Christ. Enos experiences the power of the Savior's atonement. Mosiah chapters 2 through 5. King Benjamin teaches of Christ. Mosiah chapters 12 through 16. Abinadi gives his life in testifying of Jesus Christ. Alma chapters 5 and 7. Alma testifies of the Savior. Alma chapters 17 through 22. Lamanites receive the testimony of Jesus Christ. Alma chapter 34. Amulek testifies of the Savior's atonement. Alma chapter 36. Alma experiences the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Alma chapters 40 through 42. Alma testifies of the resurrection and atonement of Jesus Christ. Helaman chapter 5. Nephi and Lehi are instruments in God's hands to witness of the Savior. 3 Nephi chapters 9 through 10. The Savior invites people to come to Him. 3 Nephi chapters 11 through 18. The Savior teaches the Nephites of the Father and of His doctrine. 3 Nephi chapter 27. The Savior teaches His gospel. Ether chapter 3. The brother of Jared sees the Savior. Ether chapter 12. Ether and Moroni testify of the Savior and the power of His atonement. Moroni chapters 7 and 8. Mormon teaches of the pure love of Christ and His atonement. Moroni chapter 10. Moroni invites all to come unto Christ and be perfected in Him. The living Christ. prophets and apostles testify of the Savior.
Premortal life, God's purpose and plan for us. Many people wonder, where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? The plan of salvation gives us the answers to these questions. God is the Father of our spirits. We are literally His children, and He loves us. We lived as spirit children of our Father in heaven before we were born on this earth. We were not, however, like our Heavenly Father, nor could we ever become like Him and enjoy all the blessings that He enjoys without the experience of living in mortality with a physical body. God's whole purpose, His work, and His glory is to enable each of us to enjoy all His blessings. He has provided a perfect plan to accomplish His purpose. We understood and accepted this plan before we came to the earth. In the scriptures, God's plan is called a merciful plan, the plan of happiness, the plan of redemption, and the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ is central to God's plan. Through His atonement, Jesus Christ fulfilled His Father's purpose and made it possible for each of us to enjoy immortality and exaltation. Satan, or the devil, is an enemy to God's plan. Agency, or the ability to choose, is one of God's greatest gifts to His children. Our eternal progression depends on how we use this gift. We must choose whether to follow Jesus Christ or follow Satan. We are physically separated from God during life on earth, but He wants every one of His children to find peace in this life and a fullness of joy in His presence after this life. He wants us to become like Him. Scripture study. Children of God. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 29, Acts chapter 17, verse 29, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. God's purpose. See Moses chapter 1, verse 39, and John chapter 17, verse 3. Premortal life. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 138, verses 53 through 56. Moses chapter 3, verse 5. Abraham chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and Topical Guide, Man and Mortal Existence of. The Creation. Under the direction of the Father, Jesus Christ created the earth as a place for us to live and gain experience. In order to progress and become like God, each of us had to obtain a body and be tested during a time of probation on the earth. While on the earth, we are out of God's physical presence. We do not remember our premortal life. We must walk by faith rather than by sight. Scripture study. See 1 Nephi chapter 17, verse 36. Alma chapter 30, verse 44. Doctrine and Covenants section 88, verses 41 through 47. Moses chapter 2, verse 1 and chapter 6, verse 63. Abraham chapter 3 verses 24 through 25, Joseph Smith translation, John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 6 through 7.
Agency and the fall of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were the first of God's children to come to earth. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were created in God's image with bodies of flesh and bones. While Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were still in God's presence and could have lived forever. They lived in innocence, and God provided for their needs. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve their agency. He commanded them not to eat the forbidden fruit, or the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Obeying this commandment meant that they could remain in the garden, but they could not progress by experiencing opposition in mortality. They could not know joy because they could not experience sorrow and pain. Satan tempted Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, and they chose to do so. This was part of God's plan. Because of this choice, they were cast from the garden and out of God's physical presence. This event is called the fall. Separation from God's presence is spiritual death. Adam and Eve became mortal, subject to physical death or separation of the body and spirit. They could now experience disease and all types of suffering. They had moral agency, or the ability to choose between good and evil. This made it possible for them to learn and progress. It also made it possible for them to make wrong choices and to sin. In addition, they could now have children, so the rest of God's spirit children could come to earth, obtain physical bodies, and be tested. Only in this way could God's children progress and become like Him. Teaching about the fall. When first teaching this doctrine, explain very simply that God chose two of His children, Adam and Eve, to become the first parents on earth. After their transgression, they were subject to both sin and death. By themselves, they could not return to live with Heavenly Father. The Lord spoke to Adam and taught him the plan of salvation and redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. By following that plan, Adam and his family could have joy in this life and return to live with God. See Alma chapter 18, verse 36, and chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. Scripture study. In the garden. 2 Nephi chapter 2. Moses chapter 2, verses 26 through 31. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And chapter 5, verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, and chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Fall. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25. Alma chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Moses chapter 4, and chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. And Genesis chapter 3.
Our life on earth. Life on earth is an opportunity and a blessing. Our purpose in this life is to have joy and prepare to return to God's presence. In mortality, we live in a condition where we are subject to both physical and spiritual death. God has a perfect, glorified, immortal body of flesh and bones. To become like God and return to His presence, we too must have a perfect, immortal body of flesh and bones. However, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, every person on earth has an imperfect, mortal body and will eventually die. If not for the Savior Jesus Christ, death would end all hope for a future existence with Heavenly Father. Along with physical death, sin is a major obstacle that keeps us from becoming like our Father in heaven and returning to His presence. In our mortal condition, we often yield to temptation, break God's commandments, and sin. During our life on earth, each of us makes mistakes. Although it sometimes appears otherwise, sin always leads to unhappiness. Sin causes feelings of guilt and shame. Because of our sins, we are unable to return to live with Heavenly Father unless we are first forgiven and cleansed. While we are in mortality, we have experiences that bring us happiness. We also have experiences that bring us pain and sorrow, some of which is caused by the sinful acts of others. These experiences provide us opportunities to learn and to grow, to distinguish good from evil, and to make choices. God influences us to do good. Satan tempts us to commit sin. As with physical death, we cannot overcome the effects of sin by ourselves. We are helpless without the atonement of Jesus Christ. Scripture study. Probation or testing period. See 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 21, and chapter 9, verse 27. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 19. Alma chapter 12, verses 21 through 24. Chapter 34, verses 31 through 35. And chapter 42, verses 2 through 10. And Abraham chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. Choice. See 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 26 through 29, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and for the strength of youth, agency, and accountability. Good and evil. See Moroni chapter 7, verses 12 through 19. Sin. See Romans chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. The unclean cannot be with God. See 1 Nephi chapter 10, verses 20 through 21, Alma chapter 41, verses 10 and 11, 3 Nephi chapter 27, verse 19, and Moses chapter 6, verse 57.
The Atonement of Jesus Christ. Before the world was organized, our Heavenly Father chose Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Redeemer. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ made it possible for us to overcome the effects of the fall. All of the prophets since the world began have testified of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. We will all suffer physical death, but Jesus Christ overcame the obstacle of physical death for us. When He died on the cross, His spirit became separated from His body. On the third day, His spirit and His body were reunited eternally, never to be separated again. He appeared to many people, showing them that He had an immortal body of flesh and bone. The reuniting of body and spirit is called resurrection and is a gift promised to each of us. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will all be resurrected regardless of whether we have done good or evil in this life. We will have a perfect, immortal body of flesh and bones that will never again be subject to disease, pain, or death. The resurrection makes it possible to return to God's presence to be judged, but does not guarantee that we will be able to live in His presence. To receive that blessing, we must also be cleansed from sin. God sent His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to overcome the obstacle of sin in addition to the obstacle of physical death. We are not responsible for the fall of Adam and Eve, but we are responsible for our own sins. God cannot look on sin with any degree of allowance, and sin prevents us from living in His presence. Only through the Savior's grace and mercy can we become clean from sin so that we can live with God again. This is possible through exercising faith in Jesus Christ, repenting, being baptized, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end. To fulfill the plan of salvation, Christ paid the penalty for our sins. He alone was able to do that. He was called and prepared in the premortal life. He was the literal Son of God in the flesh. He was sinless and completely obedient to His Father. Though tempted, He never gave in to temptation. When the Father asked His beloved Son to pay the price of the world's sins, Jesus was prepared and willing. The Savior's atonement included His suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane and His suffering and death on the cross, and it ended with His resurrection. Though He suffered beyond comprehension, so much so that He bled from every pore and asked whether it were possible that this burden be lifted from Him, He submitted to the Father's will in a supreme expression of love for His Father and for us. This triumph of Jesus Christ over spiritual death by His suffering and over physical death by His resurrection is called the Atonement of Jesus Christ. Christ promises to forgive our sins on the condition that we accept Him by exercising faith in Him, repenting, receiving baptism by immersion and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, and striving faithfully to keep His commandments to the end of our lives. Through continuing repentance, we may obtain forgiveness and be cleansed of our sins by the power of the Holy Ghost. We are relieved of the burden of guilt and shame, and through Jesus Christ, we become worthy to return to the presence of God. As we rely on the atonement of Jesus Christ, He can help us endure our trials, sicknesses, and pain. We can be filled with joy, peace, and consolation. All that is unfair about life can be made right through the atonement of Jesus Christ. In paying the penalty for our sins, Jesus did not, however, eliminate our personal responsibility. We must show that we accept Him and that we will follow His commandments. Only through the gift of the Savior's atonement can we return to live with God. Scripture Study. Resurrection. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Alma chapter 11, verses 42 through 45, and chapter 40, verse 23, Helaman chapter 14, verses 15 through 19, Doctrine and Covenants section 88, verses 27 through 32, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 10 and 36 through 39, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23, Joseph Smith Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 41 and 42, and Topical Guide, Resurrection. The Savior's Atonement, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Alma chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, and chapter 34, verses 8 through 10, Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verses 15 through 19, and section 45, verses 3 through 5, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and Bible Dictionary, Atonement. The Gospel of Jesus Christ, The Way. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 1 through 24, and chapter 31. Alma chapter 11, verse 40. 3 Nephi chapter 11, verses 31 through 41, and chapter 27. And Moroni chapter 7, verses 27 and 28.
The Spirit World. Even though Christ conquered physical death, all people must die, for death is part of the process by which we are transformed from mortality to immortality. At death, our spirits go to the spirit world. Death does not change our personality or our desires for good or evil. Those who chose to obey God in this life live in a state of happiness, peace, and rest from troubles and care. Those who chose not to obey in this life and did not repent live in a state of unhappiness. In the spirit world, the gospel is preached to those who did not obey the gospel or have the opportunity to hear it while on earth. We remain in the spirit world until we are resurrected. Scripture study. Gospel preached to the dead. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 138. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6. Death and the Spirit World. See Alma chapter 34, verse 34, Alma chapter 40, verses 11 through 14, and Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. The Resurrection, Salvation, and Exaltation. When our bodies and spirits are reunited through the resurrection, we will be brought into God's presence to be judged. We will remember perfectly our righteousness and our guilt. If we have repented, we will receive mercy. We will be rewarded according to our works and our desires. Salvation. Through the Savior's atonement and resurrection, all people will be saved or gain salvation from physical death. They will be resurrected and become immortal, that is, they will live forever. Immortality is a free or unconditional gift to all people, whether they are righteous or wicked. People may also be saved or gain salvation from individual spiritual death through the atonement of Jesus Christ, by their faith in Him, by living in obedience to the laws and ordinances of His gospel, and by serving Him. Eternal life and exaltation are not the same as immortality. President Russell M. Nelson taught, quote, "In God's eternal plan, salvation is an individual matter. Exaltation is a family matter." End quote. See Salvation and Exaltation, Ensign or Liahona, May 2008. Exaltation. Exaltation or celestial glory is the highest state of happiness and glory in the celestial kingdom. Exaltation is a conditional gift. President Nelson has taught, quote, "Those qualifying conditions include faith in the Lord, repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, and remaining faithful to the ordinances and covenants of the temple." End quote. Again, see Salvation and Exaltation. Exaltation means living with God forever in eternal families. It is to know God and Jesus Christ and to experience the life they enjoy. Resurrection and Reincarnation. Some people may confuse the doctrine of resurrection with the concept of reincarnation. The human teaching of reincarnation, that we are born into the world again in a different form, is not true or scriptural. The doctrine of resurrection involves receiving an eternal reward of an immortal body of flesh and bone. This is true doctrine. Make sure those you teach clearly understand the doctrine of the resurrection.
Judgment and kingdoms of glory. During our mortal lives, we make choices regarding good and evil. God rewards us according to our works and desires. Because God rewards everyone according to their desires and their deeds done on earth, there are different kingdoms of glory to which we may be assigned after the judgment. Celestial Kingdom. Those who have repented of their sins, received the ordinances of the gospel, and kept the associated covenants will be cleansed by the atonement of Christ. They will be saved in the celestial kingdom. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 137, verse 10. In the scriptures, this kingdom is compared to the glory or brightness of the sun. The celestial kingdom has three heavens or degrees. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 1. And only those who have an eternal marriage, sealed by the Holy Spirit, can enter into the highest, which is exaltation. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 2. They will live in God's presence, become like Him, and receive a fullness of joy. Those in the celestial kingdom who do not have an eternal marriage can enter into another heaven or degree in the celestial kingdom, but in that place they are ministering angels who remain separately and singly without exaltation in their saved condition, angels of God forever and ever. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 17. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 4, and Russell M. Nelson, Celestial Marriage, Ensign or Liahona, November 2008. Terrestrial Kingdom. People who do not accept the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this life or in the world to come, but live honorable lives, will receive a place in the terrestrial kingdom. This kingdom is compared to the glory of the moon. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 71 through 80. Telestial Kingdom. Those who continued in their sins and did not repent in this life or accept the gospel in the world to come will receive their reward in the lowest kingdom, which is called the telestial kingdom. This kingdom is compared to the glory of the stars. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 81 through 86. Scripture Study. Resurrection and Restoration. 2 Nephi, chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Jacob chapter 6 verses 8 and 9, and Alma chapter 42 verses 13 through 15 and 22 through 23. Judgment. 2 Nephi chapter 28 verse 23, Mosiah chapter 3 verses 23 through 25, Alma chapter 5 verses 15 through 21, and chapter 12 verses 12 through 14. Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 12, and section 137, verse 9, and John chapter 5, verse 22. Kingdoms of Glory. 3 Nephi, chapter 28, verse 10. Doctrine and Covenant, section 76, including the introduction, and section 137. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Joseph Smith translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 41 and 42. Eternal Life. 2 Nephi chapter 31, verses 17 through 21. Doctrine and Covenants, section 14, verse 7. Section 29, verses 43 through 44. Section 45, verse 8. And section 93, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 16. And chapter 17, verse 3. Regarding the plan of salvation, please refer to the box on the top of page 55. Listed there, you'll see the phases: premortal life, creation and fall, earth life, including faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, gift of the Holy Ghost, and endure to the end, physical death, spirit world, resurrection, and judgment, and the three degrees of glory, celestial, terrestrial, and telestial. The atonement of Jesus Christ makes salvation possible. Scripture study, church attendance, and prayer. Scripture study, church attendance, and prayer can help people feel God's love and recognize truth through the witness of the Holy Ghost. Encourage those you teach to include these practices as they learn about the plan of salvation and the atonement of Jesus Christ. See the Pray Often section in Lesson 4 for guidance on how you might help someone learn how to pray and read the Scriptures. When they consistently study the Scriptures, particularly the Book of Mormon, attend church regularly, and pray to God with faith, sincerity, and real intent, with a commitment to act upon the answers received, God will answer their prayers, guide their lives, and help them discern truth. Invitation to be baptized. As directed by the Spirit, the invitation to be baptized and confirmed should be specific and direct. Will you follow the example of Jesus Christ by being baptized by someone holding the priesthood authority of God? We will be holding a baptismal service on. Select a specific date. Will you prepare yourself to be baptized on that date?
Ideas for teaching. This section has ideas for you to use in preparing for and teaching the information in this lesson. Pray for the Spirit's guidance as you decide how to use these ideas. Add the ideas you select to your lesson plan. Keep in mind that these ideas are suggestions, not requirements, to help you meet the needs of those you teach. Short lesson plan, 3 to 5 minutes. The plan of salvation teaches us where we came from, why we are here on earth, and where we will go after this life. It maps our eternal journey through premortal life, mortal life, death, resurrection, and to our life in the eternities. The plan also explains what our loving Father in heaven does to help us make this journey successfully so that we can return to His presence and become like Him. The plan focuses on the mission and atonement of Jesus Christ in overcoming the effects of the fall and making eternal life and exaltation possible for us. We invite you to ponder and pray about this message. Premortal life, God's purpose and plan for us. The creation, agency and the fall of Adam and Eve. Our life on earth, the atonement of Jesus Christ. The spirit world, the resurrection, salvation, and exaltation. Judgment and kingdoms of glory. Invitations. Will you ask God in prayer to know that what we have taught is true? Will you repent of your sins? Will you attend church with us this Sunday? Will you read the Book of Mormon and ask God in prayer to know that it is the Word of God? Will you follow the example of the Savior and be baptized on? Select a date. May we set a time for our next visit? Commandments from Lesson 4 that you choose to include. Medium lesson plan, 10 to 15 minutes. Our message helps us understand the purpose of life and who we are. It gives us hope and helps us find peace, joy, and happiness. It tells us where we came from, why we are here on earth, and where we will go after this life. God is our Father, and He loves us. We are His children. We are part of His family. And we lived with Him before we were born on this earth. He has a plan of happiness that makes it possible for us to return to His presence after this life. Our progress depends on how we use our God-given agency or ability to choose. As part of that plan, the fall of Adam and Eve made it possible for us to come to earth, gain a physical body, have experience, and have families of our own. But the fall also brought physical death, which is separation of the spirit from the body, and spiritual death, which is separation from God. Jesus Christ is central to God's plan. Christ's atoning sacrifice overcame the effects of both physical and spiritual death. We will all be resurrected and will live forever with physical bodies free of pain and sickness. Christ also made it possible to overcome spiritual death. As we live his gospel, he will mercifully forgive our sins. He will heal us and replace guilt and shame with peace and happiness in this life. As part of God's merciful plan, we will all suffer a physical death. Our spirits will be separated from our bodies and will live for a time in the spirit world. We will then be resurrected with an immortal body, an eternal union of our body and spirit. We will be judged according to our works and desires. Those who have lived the gospel will receive our Father in heaven's greatest gift, the gift of exaltation, to live as a family in his presence. Our Heavenly Father has again reached out to his children in love to reveal his plan of happiness. We learn about this wonderful plan in the Book of Mormon, which you can read, ponder, and pray about. We invite you to attend church and worship with us. Invitations. Will you ask God in prayer to know that what we have taught is true? Will you repent of your sins? Will you attend church with us this Sunday? Will you read the Book of Mormon and ask God in prayer to know that it is the Word of God? Will you follow the example of the Savior and be baptized on select a date? May we set a time for our next visit? Commandments from Lesson 4 that you choose to include.
Full lesson plan, 30 to 45 minutes. Premortal life, God's purpose and plan for us. God is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. See Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. God has a plan for our happiness. Jesus Christ is central to that plan. God's plan of happiness makes it possible to return to His presence. See Moses chapter 1, verse 39. Our eternal progression depends on how we use our agency. See 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 27 through 29. The creation. Under the Father's direction, Jesus Christ created the earth. See Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Agency and the fall of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created in God's image. See Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In the Garden of Eden, they were innocent and lived in God's presence. Because they partook of the forbidden fruit, they were cast out of the garden. See Moses chapter 4, verses 19 through 31. This is called the fall. They became mortal and were able to have children and were also subject to sin and death. See 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 22 through 25, and Moses chapter 5, verse 11. Our life on earth. Our purpose in life is to find lasting peace, joy, and happiness as families and to prepare to return to live with God. We came to earth to be tested. See Abraham chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. We gain a body of flesh and bones, but we are subject to physical death. God gives commandments. If we obey, we are blessed. If we disobey, we sin and receive the consequences. All sin must be paid for, either by ourselves or by Christ. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verses 15 through 20. We make choices and we all commit sin. See Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We have experiences that bring us happiness and also sorrow. We cannot overcome either physical or spiritual death without Christ. The Atonement of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ overcame physical death, we will all be resurrected. See Alma chapter 11, verses 41 through 43. Through Christ's atonement, we can become clean from sin so that we can return to live in God's presence. See 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. Christ will forgive our sins as we have faith in Him, repent, receive baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and endure to the end. The spirit world. All people must die. At death, our spirits go to the spirit world. We live in either a state of misery or a state of peace and rest, depending on how we lived in this life. The resurrection, salvation, and exaltation. Our spirits and bodies will be reunited in the resurrection. See Alma chapter 11, verses 42 through 45, and chapter 40, verse 23. Eternal life and exaltation are gifts of God given to those who fully obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 14, verse 7, and section 132, verse 17. Judgment and Kingdoms of Glory. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, and section 137. And 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 40 through 42. We will return to God's presence to be judged according to our works and desires. If we have repented, we will receive mercy. We receive a kingdom of glory according to our works and desires. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 137, verse 9. Those who receive the gospel and live it valiantly throughout their lives will receive the celestial kingdom. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 50 through 70. Honorable people who are blinded by the craftiness of men and who are not valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ receive the terrestrial kingdom. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 75 and 79. Those who sin and do not repent will receive the celestial glory after they suffer for their sins. Invitations. Will you ask God in prayer to know that what we have taught is true? Will you repent of your sins? Will you attend church with us this Sunday? Will you read the Book of Mormon and ask God in prayer to know that it is the Word of God? Will you follow the example of the Savior and be baptized on select a date? May we set a time for our next visit? Commandments from Lesson 4 that you choose to include. Questions to ask after you teach. What questions do you have about what we have taught? What do you understand about God's plan for you and your family? From what we have taught you, what do you understand about the role of Jesus Christ? What does that mean to you?
Key definitions. Following are terms that are frequently not understood. Make sure you explain them clearly and find out if those you are teaching understand. Atonement of Jesus Christ. As used in the scriptures, to atone is to suffer the penalty for an act of sin, thereby removing the effects of sin from the repentant sinners and allowing them to be reconciled to God. Jesus Christ suffered in Gethsemane and on the cross. He was the only one capable of making a perfect atonement for all mankind. He suffered the penalty for our sins in Gethsemane and died on the cross. He took upon himself the pains, sicknesses, temptations, afflictions, and infirmities of us all. See Alma chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Exaltation. To become like our Father in heaven and live in his presence as members of his family. President Nelson has taught, quote, "To be exalted or to gain exaltation refers to the highest state of happiness and glory in the celestial realm," end quote. See Salvation and Exaltation. Exaltation comes through the atonement of Christ and through obedience to all the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Fall of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they became mortal, that is, subject to sin and death. Adam became the first flesh upon the earth. See Moses chapter 3, verse 7. Latter-day Revelation makes clear that the fall is a blessing and that Adam and Eve should be honored as the first parents of all mankind. Immortality. The condition of living forever in a resurrected state, not subject to physical death. Judgment. God, through Jesus Christ, will judge us individually to determine the eternal glory we will receive. This judgment will be based on our obedience to God's commandments, including our acceptance of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We will receive our eternal reward based on whether our works and desires have been good or evil. Mortality. The time from birth until physical death. Physical death. Separation of our spirit, which lives forever and cannot die, from our physical body. Premortal life, or premortal existence, pre-earth life. As spirit children of our Father in heaven, we lived in His presence before we were born on this earth. In premortal life, we did not have physical bodies. Redemption: to deliver, to purchase, or to ransom, such as to free a person from bondage by payment. Redemption refers to the atonement of Jesus Christ and to deliverance from sin. Jesus' atonement redeems all mankind from physical death. Through His atonement, those who have faith in Him and repent are also redeemed from spiritual death. Resurrection: the reuniting of the spirit body with the physical body of flesh and bones after death. After resurrection, the spirit and body will never again be separated, and the person is immortal. Every person born on earth will be resurrected because Jesus Christ overcame death. Salvation: to be saved from physical and spiritual death. Quote, "We believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression, that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel." End quote. See Articles of Faith, Chapter 1, Verses 2 and 3. All people will be saved from physical death or resurrected by the grace of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is an unconditional gift from the Savior to all human beings, regardless of the choices they make during this life. Salvation from spiritual death, or sin, is conditional. President Russell M. Nelson taught, quote, "People may also be saved from individual spiritual death through the atonement of Jesus Christ, by their faith in Him, by living in obedience to the laws and ordinances of His gospel, and by serving Him." End quote. See Salvation and Exaltation. Spiritual death: separation from God and His influences, to die as to things pertaining to righteousness. Spiritual death was introduced into the world by the fall of Adam and Eve. See Alma chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. Mortals with sinful thoughts, words, or works are spiritually dead while still alive on earth. See 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 39. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, men and women can become clean from sin and overcome spiritual death as they repent and live the principles and ordinances of the gospel. See Articles of Faith, Chapter 1, Verses 2 and 3. Other terms that may need to be explained to those you teach: baptism by immersion, celestial, cleansed from sin, creation, eternal progression, faith, forbidden fruit, forgiven of sin, Garden of Eden, kingdoms of glory, opposition, plan of salvation, probation, repent, sin, spirit world, telestial, terrestrial, tree of knowledge of good and evil.